Support comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. This winter, Strategic Farm Marketing is holding risk management seminars near you. A complete list of meeting dates and locations can be found at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the February 21 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Don't forget to buy your tickets for the All-Day Agricultural Outlook. That's at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. It's coming up on the first Tuesday of the month of March. That's the fifth day. It's not very far away. The cost is just $30, and for that $30, you'll get a Beef House roll and coffee in the morning. A dozen grain analysts throughout the day. We'll talk with Murray Wise about the value of farmland. Eric Snodgrass will be there to take up the agricultural weather forecast. And, well, you'll get a Beef House noon hour meal, too. And it's just $30. Buy your tickets online right now at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org, or during regular business hours, you can call 800-898-1065. I hope to see you there at the Beef House on Tuesday, March the 5th. Now, back to Commodity Week, where our panelists today include Ellen Dearden of Ag Review out of Morton, Illinois, Greg Ginder from FC Stone in Chesterfield, Missouri, Bryce Knorr of Farm Futures in Chicago, Illinois, and Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. I think, Bryce, I'd like to start with you because I bet that you took a look at some of the numbers USDA released on Thursday morning. Those came out with Mr. Johansson, who's the chief ag economist at USDA, gave us some acreage numbers and some average cash prices. What'd you think of those numbers?
Well, they weren't too far from what the trade had been expecting. They differed a little bit for our survey. We found less corn. They were fairly close to what we found for soybeans. Basically, it looks like what they're saying is spring wheat and durum will be pretty much unchanged. Of course, we already had the winter wheat seeding put out February 8th. I guess the thing, when you take a look at the average cash prices, they lowered their average cash price from what they had put out in November when they put out the first of these outlook estimates and raised the soybean cash price a little bit. Presumably that reflects increased soybean exports, and that they would presumably be going to China. But taking a look at this, it says farmers should plant soybeans instead of corn. On average, soybean returns would still be losing money, but probably 40 to 50 bucks less than corn. So and the board certainly reflects that now. And you kind of wonder if farmers are actually going to take the risk of planting 92 million acres of corn, especially since many have yet to put down any fertilizer.
So you mentioned these numbers, 92 million acres of corn from USDA in their agricultural outlook form, 85 million acres for soybeans. That's down, by the way, from the 89.2 that was planted last year. An average cash price for the season for the 2019-20 soybean crop at $8.80 and $3.65 for corn. Chuck Shelby, do you agree with him that these are numbers that tell producers to go ahead and plant soybeans?
Yes, our opinion has been that the bean acres would drop maybe to 87 million and corn acres wouldn't grow that much. Basically, when you look at the input costs for corn, nitrogen's higher. When you look at the idea of in parts of the country where we had trouble getting the corn crop out, I know on our farm we had some down corn. We weren't able to do tillage on those acres that would have been going to beans. The amount of volunteer corn on some of these acres just forces you into soybeans. So in our mind, I think there's a multitude of reasons why they're a little low on soybean acres and a little high on corn.
Ellen Dearden, what's your assessment of those numbers?
Well, I think for right now that we've got the corn acres maybe a little bit too high, but if the weather continues to have the same pattern that we're seeing now, that is extremely wet, particularly in the Mid-South and also in the Iowa, Nebraska, Eastern Nebraska, Dakotas region, we're not going to get that many corn acres planted, and we'll have a whole heck of a lot more beans.
And did you have some reaction this morning as well, Greg Ginder, to the set of numbers as they came from USDA in its first session today?
Yeah, I would echo the same thing as Chuck and Ellen. I mean, majority of what we've seen so far is those areas in the I states have pretty concrete rotations that they are using and will continue to use. The states out, say, east of Ohio, south of the Mason-Dixon line, there could be a good bit of switching going on there. I would say cotton would probably take precedence over a lot of potential corn and or bean acres. It appears that cotton is one of, as far as the South goes, cotton is one of the most profitable crops that they'll be able to put in by what we're looking at board prices right now. So yeah, I would agree with what's been previously said.
Ellen Dearden, I'll stay in Washington, D.C., but switch gears just a bit because the negotiators are working across the table from the Chinese this week, and the Chinese have made an offer on one of five different MOUs, or Memorandums of Understanding, that are they expected to become the basis of any deal. So, and I'll give some background here on the idea that the MOUs probably will allow them to kick the can down the road on the final deal past the March 1 deadline. We'll see whether that happens. However, they made an agricultural offer that put an extra $30 billion in agricultural purchases on the table. The market on Thursday reacted to that, not sharply, but certainly did react. What did you think of that particular discussion point?
I think that it gives Trump some of the things that he really wanted in that discussion. And you have to keep in mind that these MOUs are strictly non-binding. They're just ideas to agree. And so we still have a long ways to go, but $30 billion in ag goods, of U.S. ag goods going to China, would certainly be a shot in the arm. It won't all be beans, and the market reaction, I think, shows that it will be probably across a lot of commodities. Look at the cotton market here on Thursday, had a little spurt up too. So, and also on the pork side of things. So I think we need to keep in mind it's not all about soybeans.
Bryce Knorr, did you have any reaction to this news that came, as it came out of D.C.?
Right. Another thing to remember is that when these folks in Washington are talking, they're talking calendar years, not crop years. So we probably won't see much, if anything, for the 2018 marketing year, but perhaps a little bit of improvement for soybeans in 2019. The interesting thing might happen, perhaps buying more wheat, but also the DDGSs and perhaps ethanol. Remember, China's supposedly has this mandate to adopt E10 nationwide in 2020. The clock is certainly ticking on that one, and it looks like they might restart their ethanol imports. So it could help out some of the more peripheral products more than some of the big gun products.
And it may be important to note as well that intellectual property was not mentioned as one of those things that they're willing to deal on, at least just yet, although that is in an MOU. I will point folks to the website, willag.org. I have not posted this at this point, but it should be there pretty shortly, where you can listen to a profile of the USTR trade representative, or United States Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer, that National Public Radio had done. It'll give you some real insight into the man who is across the table as the lead negotiator for the United States, and it's definitely worth a listening. It's also in the Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. Now, coming back to price at hand, Chuck Shelby, I want to start with old crop, especially for corn, because there tends to be a lot of that still in the bin, whether that's in commercial storage or on the home farm. What are your expectations as it relates to cash basis across the United States? And should farmers find any firming than that, a good place to maybe set forth another percentage of sales?
Well, when you look at corn to start with, The ethanol plants have been struggling to make money here at these price levels of gas. So the basis for ethanol has been and corn has been fairly soft. It has held up pretty well, though, as we've gone through winter here, and a lot of producers have held off on their sales, waiting for this potential Chinese news. I think one thing producers have to be concerned about is, you know, what will happen if we do get a price rally, and a lot of producers, rightfully so, move their crop. And we move towards planting time. There's a lot of farmers that want to make sales to get some cash flow. So as a producer, I would be trying to look for a good basis to lock in, see if we can get this rally in Chinese reaction, and then go ahead and, you know, price that corn out. On the soybean side, I think it's kind of a similar situation. There's probably more farmers than ever that have held on to soybeans waiting for this rally. But again, when a lot of producers decide to let go, it's going to probably weigh on the basis because there's going to be too many bushels coming at one time from the producer. So setting basis, waiting for this rally, grab the rally and price it at that time.
Greg Ginder, this isn't generally a time of year when there's much moving down the river system, but from your perspective there in St. Louis and what you're hearing about the river, how's basis there to New Orleans?
I would say that it's been good. It has firmed. We're looking at values for corn in the 60s, approaching 70. You have wheat about a dollar. You've got beans in the 40s approaching 50. Now, granted, some of that could be due to the logistical squeeze that we have on some of the blocking rivers like the Ohio and the Illinois, which we've continued to kind of creep up a little bit due to the increased hardship and a little bit of excess demand that is not normally seen this time of the year. But what will be interesting to watch is if the values at the Gulf will remain at high levels, even if barge freight drops back. That would be an instant indicator of some business that needs to be done, some boats that need to be loaded. If it falls back, all the values at the Gulf fall back as barge freight comes down, then that would be an indicator of just kind of the status quo. One thing that we have seen, though, is the processor and end users have had to also increase their aggressiveness in trying to get some ownership on here in the next couple months. So I'm hopeful. I think we're looking at better basis numbers in the future. If the board goes up, farmers decide to sell into the board and the basis numbers, we could see this thing wane a little bit. But right now, it looks pretty good.
Hey, Ellen Dearden, I think you watch the bulk freight rates across the ocean from time to time, and it appears that that has gotten really low. Does that give you any indication about trade across the planet?
Well, it just says that there's not a lot of bulk commodities moving right now. We just to add to Greg's comment about the river system, Peoria Peak and area is almost completely out of the river market right now. The only thing that's going on is processor. They've got corn processors, not bean processors, but the corn processors not making money. So the Peak and Peoria corn basis really is bad right now. Very, you know, typically we're looking at a penny or two over the March going into the March deliveries, and the best bid on any day for the last 3 or 4 weeks has been six under. And mostly we're sitting a dime to 15 under. The bean processor is the one that's making money, and he's pretty aggressive in the Bloomington Decatur market.
Bryce Knorr, your thoughts on basis across the Midwest?
Yeah, right. We've seen those crush margins for soybeans hold up real well. The ethanol market hopefully is kind of seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. We're starting to build back a premium between gasoline and ethanol, which could encourage blending as gasoline demand starts to pick up. So hopefully E15 will come to the rescue a little bit, but we saw a sharp decline last week again in ethanol production. So we continue to run maybe 3% or more behind last year. So we're going to have an extremely strong summer. and also get those new rules passed and through and hopefully through the court system by the time summer begins.
I want to stay with old crop because I got some numbers from Chuck, but I'm wanting to know, Bryce, from you and Ellen and Greg, where you stand on old crop sales and when producers ought to be pulling the trigger potentially again.
Well, basically with corn now, I think from our survey and our own recommendations, as has been said, farmers are still sitting on a lot of corn. And I think at this point, you almost have to get into a program of weekly sales, particularly just because there's so much old crop corn sitting around, and making sure that you're starting to move it and not holding out to all at once or even a couple big chunks. I think small sales and getting that stuff going as soon as you're able to is a good idea. We still see some pretty decent carry in the soybean market and corn as well. So if we do get a rally on the board, and hedge to arrive or just outright hedges, it may still be an option, assuming that you can move it during planting.
Yeah, I would agree with Bryce. It seems to me that we've held beans way too long, and this corn market's probably going to, every time we see the nearby months move up into this 380, 385 range, we're going to see things falter. And I don't expect to see basis improve really dramatically. I am also picking up out of the country that guys that are moving corn out of bags are starting to find some discounts due to musty smell. This corn was put into bags dry, but I wonder whether the ground moisture has been excessive, and that's not been a good situation. So if you put stuff in bags, make sure you're checking on it.
Well, I'm of the opinion that I think that these board prices are fair. I know this week we heard the president say something about the Chinese potentially buying more corn. I just don't know if that's actually going to be a reality or not. I know that would definitely be a shot in the arm to the corn. The fundamentals on corn are sound. I think it's got a good story. But at the same time, I just don't know if this market has enough to buy somebody to hold on to corn that could get 3 cents a month more on storage for the next 4 or 5 months. I think somebody should probably look at it as a risk versus reward. I'm kind of the opinion that more old crop should be sold than less at this point.
And on new crop, what are your thoughts?
Well, I guess I'll fall into the producer category. Wait and see after we get into the field. I would like to. We've done some new crop on corn as far as pricing and locking and profitability and things of that type. But right now, I'm just kind of going to wait and from this point, just see how we get into the field, see what it looks like, see what the weather looks like, and then just kind of take it 1 week, 1 month at a time.
Ellen Dearden, the month of February has some seasonals that you can follow. In the go-go years of ethanol buildup, they were up. Prior to that, they were lower. However, I'm wondering about this particular year, and I know that some have been concerned that February could be an outside down month. Where do you see technicals at this point?
I think February is going to end the month probably about where we are right now, and so I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of activity. I am always worried about the expiration of the March options. Those go off the board on Friday at noon. And to me, we've got to look at seeing this 380 level on the March. It seems like a lot of strikes there. And then we'll focus on new crop. I think we can probably just bounce around for a while. But I would agree with Greg. It seems like the wrong time to be doing a lot of new crop pricing right here.
Chuck Shelby, are you in that same boat?
Well, if you can be in an area that, this $4 futures area, or if you have bins and can sell the carry, you can Look out there to the July of 2020, it's in the 420 range. So we like starting on sales here. I think one interesting thing, though, when you look at the balance sheet on corn for 19, if you see Chinese purchases, that really impacts the bottom line and the carryouts and the stocks to use ratio. So I think there's some opportunity out in corn for the new crop. We certainly need to see those acres. That's a real important factor. But we like getting started on new crop corn, maybe 25% in this range. Wait for other rallies or use some put options to create a floor underneath you and see what goes as we move forward.
And Bryce, nor does Farm Futures have a marketing plan for new crop corn?
Yeah, basically with prices below break even, I don't believe in selling for a loss because I don't think that's a good business model long term. The only thing that I might be looking at is we have fairly cheap implied volatility for the new crop corn and soybean options. They're running 16% in soybeans, 18% in corn. This typically right at the end of February has been a good time to start picking up some call options to either protect sales that you already have on the books or sales that you intend to make, hopefully on rallies. One thing we've got to remember is that the market has gotten lulled into a sense that we can't have a bad crop after 6 years of above average corn and soybean crops. So we've seen both historical volatility and implied volatility really begin to narrow. Same thing happened in the stock market. We had some all-time record low readings on the VIX at the end of 2018, and then the bottom fell out of the stock market, and that reminded folks in a hurry that there is risk to these markets. So at this point, I might be taking a look at perhaps a few call options, nothing really excessive, however.
And for new crop soybeans, what's your plan?
New crop soybeans, I think you just have to wait. Typically, we get a couple kicks at the can in soybeans, if not in May and perhaps June, July, then later on in the summer, depending on what's going on down in South America.
I was going to turn my attention to that with Ellen Dearden because that crop, the safrinha or second crop corn in Mato Grosso and parts of Brazil, looks like it's off to a really good start now that the rains have begun to fall again in that nation. Is that a concern for you?
Yeah, it is. You know, if the U.S. doesn't get corn planted, may not be a big issue if the safrinha corn comes in like gangbusters. They've got, 56% of that crop planted now, and the conditions have done nothing but improve over the last 2 weeks' time. So I think we have to be a little bit wary that that crop's getting larger, even if their bean crop isn't.
And I will follow back up with you on new crop soybean sales. Ellen, where do you stand, and what should producers do?
We started doing a little light selling when November beans were in the 930 to 950 range. And I would like to get some more sales off if we can get this November bean up here in the 975 to 980 range. I don't believe we're going to see a 10 in front of that crop. So I'm pretty interested in doing some more selling.
Well, soybeans are a tricky one. As far as new crop soybeans go, the debate rages as to whether it is these are the best prices that we'll see, or if we have some sort of hope, moving forward that we'll see a little appreciation in this board. When you look at a 950 board on November, it's right there at the tipping point. I mean, if we get some more friendly news, we see maybe some fundamental information that would lead to some higher markets. You know, I would say those are pretty easy. Definitely should be looking into any rally to try to lock in something as far as new crop soybean goes. All we hear is bad news, or all we assume is bad news on soybeans. Maybe that's the market trying to tell us something. For right now, we haven't done a whole lot. We've done some put activity and some structured products to try to increase the value of an old crop. But, if everything that we hear is an indication of what we'll see. The basis on soybeans that you see right now for new crop out of the field might be some of the better bases that we see. So that's something to definitely keep an eye on, because 30 under, 40 under, I mean, these basis numbers sound hard to believe as good, but I guess as a risk management tool, it's probably not a bad idea to get a little bit of coverage on.
We're probably more aggressive than that, in the 30 to 40% range, using a combination of cash sales and put options. We've been selling beans between 950 and 965 as off the November. Again, if you have bins or you want to hold on to them, you can capture the carry and pick up some of that. But our feeling is, again, the bean cases carry out is pretty large, and it's going to be difficult to overcome that.
Bryce Knorr, I think I'm going to direct your final word just a little bit, because you'll be on the early riser session at the Commodity Classic next week in Orlando. And I've talked to Ed Usset, who is the grain analyst at the University of Minnesota already. We'll hear that during the early part of the week. I know he's going to take up trade issues. Matt Bennett from agmarket.net will be with you, and he'll probably take up marketing plans. What is your thought on where you're going to focus your efforts for that 15 minutes?
Well, one of the questions I get asked was, what were you doing when the government was shut down and USDA wasn't putting out any numbers for you to crunch? It actually gave me time to do a little bit of research that had been kind of backing up, like I said, looking at that volatility issue, and also looking at the risk that farmers face, particularly in corn, if we do have subpar yields. It's far easier to make some soybean sales at a profit if you're offered, and to have those sales actually turn out to be profitable than it is in corn, simply because in corn, when we have a bad crop, we can really have a bad crop. So I think you have to really keep in mind what the risks are of your marketing plan, and not just go under the assumption that you're going to have good yield.
Ellen Dearden, your final word for the day?
I've been watching these soybean spreads and wanting them to turn positive, but they still look fairly negative to me.
Greg Ginder from FC Stone.
I think one of the more interesting questions that I've been asked this week is, how will we know that we're coming out of these doldrums from the trade wars? I think one of the important things to watch is pork. Right now, the Chinese citizen has zero demand for pork, and that's simply out of fear. If we start seeing the U.S. sending pork over to China, I think that will start more of a risk on situation for buyers and outside money. Right now, the commodity markets just are something that they just do not have the appetite for. But as pork starts making its way over into China, I think that will be a huge reinforcement to the outside money, and I think we'll start seeing some money come back in these grains.
And we'll wrap up with Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities.
Producers have been waiting for the end of this trade war for seems like forever. It looks like maybe we're close to getting that. It's going to create some opportunities, but I think being prepared to take advantage of that, be flexible, and hopefully the worst is behind us as producers.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online and listen to the whole of our program anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org. There you can also pick up your tickets for the all-day Ag Outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. That's on Tuesday, the 5th day of March. Our thanks go this week to our panelists, including Ellen Dearden of Ag Review out of Morton, Illinois, Greg Ginder from FC Stone in Chesterfield, Missouri, Bryce Knorr of Farm Futures in Chicago, Illinois, and Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.